Welcome to Nice News. This is a broadcast about some unusual topics. On Nice News, we cover information from all over the world on many different ideas and concepts. The program provides a timeout from the daily news that doesn't always cover the happiest of topics. So, please, give us a listen. Who knows what might give you a laugh or cause you to remember something from another era, or even pique your interest, such as this article by Seth Bornstein, How We Came to Be. Scientists get first look at the evolution of early complex animals. Dateline, Washington. Newly discovered fossils have given scientists their first glimpse of when Earth made a crucial transition from plants and unrecognizably simple animals to the complex creatures that look over the world and would eventually lead to us. And it happened millions of years earlier than researchers had thought. More than 700 fossils found in southwestern China's Yunnan province offer a window into life from 539 million years ago during the Edacaran period. That was a time of simple but strange animals that lived two-dimensionally in the oceans, never going up or down, researchers say. But a study in Thursday's journal Science said many of the fossils in this trove are remnants of more complex animals that lived three-dimensional lives, traveling up through the water and eating. Those are traits that have been thought to only spring to life at least 4 million years later in the Cambrian period, during what was called the Cambrian explosion of complex and recognizable animal life. This really is the first window we have in how basically the modern animal-dominated biosphere was formed and developed and came through this weird Edacaran transitional interlude, said co-author and paleontologist Frankie Dunn of the Museum of Natural History at Oxford University. We go from a two-dimensional world, and within the geological blink of an eye, animals have diversified. They're everywhere. They're doing everything, and they're changing biogeochemical cycles. They've changed the world. The new finds were a short distance from the United Nations Shenzhen World Natural Heritage Site for other fossils in an exposure along a roadside that's not glamorous but has different layers where you can literally walk through time, geological time, in a landscape. And one of those areas provides a snapshot where evolution brings forces together. Complex animals with symmetry developed. In that spot, Dunn said, the group of fossils include the both bizarre examples of life that existed in earlier periods and disappeared, along with early examples of organisms that would evolve into modern animals. What's important is those modern animals are their bodies are mostly the same on the left and the right. Nearly all of the animal life on Earth now have similar features on left and right sides, as well as a head and an anus. Before the fossils discovered in China, scientists saw traces of this symmetric body type in fossil tracks, but not the critters themselves. Now we know what's making them because we have fossils for the first time. Help in settling rocks versus clocks debate. Until now, there was a conflict in the field of paleontology. Genetic analysis of how fast traits mutated and evolved suggested that humans and starfish had their earliest common ancestors in the Edacaran period. But the fossils or rocks weren't there to show it happening. It was called a debate of rocks versus clocks, said Dunn. What our new fossil site tells us is that it actually perhaps the rocks and the clocks are in close agreement than we thought. Emily Mitchell, a paleontologist at the University of Cambridge, who wasn't part of the research, said the new study makes a huge amount of sense because the Edacaran contains animals, where now we know there must have been a transitional stage between them and the Cambrian fauna. But until now, we didn't have any evidence. Some outside scientists, such as Jonathan Antcliffe at the University of Lausanne, questioned whether there's enough evidence to call these fossils complex animals, but most experts contacted by the Associated Press felt that they were. trying to figure out how and why. Now that scientists know when this life explosion happened, they've got more questions and some theories. I'm interested in understanding not just what had happened, what is interesting, but how it happened and why it happened the way it happened, Dunn said. So whether there are feedbacks that we can disentangle between Earth and life or between life and life. Once you have the Ediacaran on the seafloor, is it inevitable that you'll end up with something approaching a Cambrian explosion? They're the kinds of questions that I find very interesting. Life on Earth started 3 billion years ago, but it took another 2.4 billion years before complex animals developed. Then they multiplied, diversified, and took over rapidly. That's probably because Earth had to build up oxygen levels enough and evolution had to kick in with genetic changes, said the University of California at Berkeley paleontologist Charles Marshall, who was not part of the research. Marshall said the Cambrian explosion was sudden because of the already rich developmental system that was in place. What fundamentally changed across this period is the way the animals on the planet interacted with each other, said Duncan Murdoch, curator of Oxford's museum, where many of the authors work. Once animals turned up and started eating each other and churning up the sediment, they changed the planet forever. And the planet that we live on is very much built on the foundations from the Ediacaran and Cambrian periods. This article was written by Seth Borenstein and is titled, How We Came to Be. Scientists get first look at the evolution of early complex animals. So we go from animals to food. Did you know what the Tokyo-style pizza was or is? Well, you're about to see it everywhere in the United States. According to Carol Shin, Piazza is iconic in the U.S. It's an ever-evolving obsession for people who spin the dough, taking on Mexican, Korean, French, and Indian influence. Now another version is coming to stateside, Tokyo-style pizza. The interpretation landed in New York City amid fanfare in February. Two renowned Tokyo pizzaiolas, the pioneer Susumu Kakenuma and his former apprentice Tsubasa Tamaki, each launched separate independently planned pop-ups, which quickly sold out. The style has already been winning the world over. Five of the world's best pizza awards went to Japan. Tamaki has fielded franchise requests from Brazil, China, Turkey, and even Saudi Arabia. So who invented Tokyo pizza? The answer starts with Kakenuma. About 30 years ago, he studied making pizza for a year in Naples. It was only through observation, though, because nobody would hire him, he said in a 2017 Eater Review. When he returned to Tokyo, he experimented with flour blends, fermentation duration, and temperature and placement inside a wood-fired oven. It was all done with perfectionism, characteristics of craft mastery. In 1995, he opened the first pizzeria, Savoy. He followed with his now famous Serenkan, which features only marinara and margherita pizza, in 2007. Along the way, he taught a new generation of Tokyo pizza makers who have added their own signature touches. So what is Tokyo pizza anyway? To the untrained eye, Tokyo pizza looks like a regular Neapolitan pie. It has a thick and airy cornicione, often referred to as the outer crust in the United States, while maintaining a thin bottom crust. But there are key differences. Blistered and charred air bubbles spike along the cornicione, and the pie carries a faint taste of wood smoke. Okinawan salt crystals dapple the bottom of the pie to achieve shio no shigeki, a salt punch that makes flavors pop. The center is less soupy than Neapolitan pizza, while cornicione is more fluffy. The texture is the result of a proprietary blend of flours baked in Kakenuma's customized oven. He positions the pie dangerously close to the fire at 900 degrees Fahrenheit and throws in cedar shavings at the very last second. Japanese toppings or pairings are not as freewheeling as one might expect from Tokyo pizza parlors. At Pizza Studio Tamaki, Kakenuma's former apprentice Tamaki tops his 15 pies with ingredients like njua and olives. The only non-Italian dish on the menu is nan banzuke, or deep-fried pickled fish. Pizza Marumo from chef Yuki Motokura sells a sea bream carpaccio. Strada Tamaki's first pizzeria offers a minced wagyu beef pizza. What isn't a Tokyo pizza, you ask? It may lean Italian, but don't call Tokyo pizza Neapolitan. The Naples-based nonprofit True Neapolitan Pizza Association protects the identity and legacy of its namesake. Tokyo pizza doesn't follow the fundamental rules of Neapolitan pizza, like a cornicione that's 1 to 2 centimeters wide and swollen and free from burns, according to Gianluca Liccardo, the association's marketing manager. It also doesn't have a codified, reproducible method that is recognized by a community, said Liccardo. For these reasons, Tokyo isn't considered Neapolitan pizza. Kakenuma similarly rejected the Neapolitan label in the 2017 Eater interview. The stateside expansion. To make Tokyo pizza in New York City presented some challenges. Tamaki had to adjust for cold weather and the minerality of New York City tap water during his two-night pop-up. He added more yeast, developed the dough in a warm room, and shortened the mixing time. It also took several months to coordinate the proper permits and logistics to import his secret blend of American, Canadian, and Japanese flours into the United States. Kakenuma's five-night residency at Saki no Hana, which featured a rare Bianco pizza, also hit some bumps. The $45 price tag, which factored in costs for ingredients, labor, and flight, according to a rep for Saki no Hana, caused a sticker shock. Customers complained about hours-long wait at Kakenuma, made each pie by hand. Orders were capped at one pizza per two diners due to the production limits from the nearly 800 pounds of imported flours. Tokyo pizza is becoming more accessible, however. Pizzeria Sei debuted in Los Angeles in 2022. In mid to late spring, Pizza Studio Tamaki is scheduled to open its first United States restaurant in Manhattan's Lower East Side. It will join Tamaki's growing global operation with offshoots in Thailand, Singapore, and the Philippines. New franchises are set to open in Australia, Indonesia, France, and the UK. So, if you're interested in Tokyo-style pizza, for the time being, you might have to go to Los Angeles or maybe Manhattan. And an article is written by Carolyn Chin and is titled, What is Tokyo-style pizza? Why, you're about to see it everywhere in the United States. Our next article, AI glasses improve lives of dementia patients with labeled object vision. Exciting advancements are on the horizon with the development of innovative AI glasses designed for individuals living with dementia. These remarkable glasses will soon be able to project visual prompts right onto the lenses, allowing users to navigate daily life with greater ease and independence. Anticipated to launch in the UK in 2027, the glasses have already made a significant impact during testing, impressing both participants and expert judges alike. The glasses are equipped with an AI companion named Wispy, which provides thoughtful guidance by identifying common objects and delivering audio commentary. The friendly assistant learns each user's unique preferences, adapting to support as individuals progress through their dementia journey. When a user struggles to recall a specific task, Wispy is there to gently walk them through the steps, fostering confidence and independence. In trials, an impressive 3 out of 4 participants reported a noticeable enhancement in their quality of life thanks to the thoughtful design of the glasses and the valuable insights from Wispy, which was developed by the innovative team at CrossSense. After years of dedication and refinement, the engineering team has designed these glasses to assist with a variety of everyday activities, from dressing and household chores to making a cup of tea and enjoying interactions with loved ones. The glasses are compatible with prescription lenses and hearing aids, further enhancing their usability. They also take into account the user's environment, empowering individuals to engage in activities that promote their independence. As the creators articulated, this technology aims to help users feel confident in their homes and care for themselves. It also allows them to plan their days, complete activities, and connect with friends and with family. CrossSense is eagerly preparing for the glasses release, which will support local authorities, care providers, and NHS memory clinics in their mission to assist those living with dementia. Recently, the London-based team celebrated a remarkable achievement by winning the Longitude Prize on Dementia, a prestigious award backed by the Alzheimer's Society and Innovate UK. The panel of expert judges recognized their innovative situation as a groundbreaking solution with transformative potential for individuals and families affected by dementia. Glasses are designed to be lightweight, weighing in under at 3 ounces, and feature a built-in battery that lasts an hour, complemented by a portable power bank for extended use throughout the day. Among those who have tested the glasses is a 70-year-old Carol Krieg, a London resident and founder of the Forget Me Nots Dementia Support Group. Carol was inspired by the glasses' potential to help others maintain their independence, and she said, "I thought it was an amazing concept with the potential to provide real, reliable support for people like me." Carol's insight reflects a broader sentiment. As she says, "For many of us, our world slowly becomes smaller as the condition progresses. Innovations like this one offer real help. I know that as my circumstances change, I will certainly be relying on these AI glasses." Professor Fiona Carragher, Chief Research Officer at Alzheimer's Society, praised the technology for its ability to intuitively support individuals by anticipating people's needs as their condition progresses, easing daily living challenges, and providing reassurance to families. This technology will help people with dementia to maintain independence for longer within the familiar environment of their home. This article, AI glasses improves lives of dementia patients with labeled object vision. College student brings solar power and light to rural village for the very first time. In the beautiful and diverse landscape of Peru, there are inspiring stories of resilience and community spirit among indigenous populations. While some remote areas still face challenges with energy access, around 30% of rural neighborhoods in the Amazon lack electricity, and many in the Andes experience unreliable power. There are bright initiatives shining through these obstacles. The absence of electricity can significantly impact health services, education, food security, and connectivity. Many individuals have relied on diesel generators and wood-burning stoves, which can be costly and harmful to the environment. Yet amidst these challenges, hope has emerged through the efforts of a dedicated group of students from the Federal University of Latin American Integration. These students founded Aluk K. Anchainin, a name that beautifully translates to the energy of the community in Quechua. In 2020, during the challenging times of COVID-19 pandemic, these students turned their focus toward a solar energy initiative in the Alto Mishagua rural settlement. This remote area, often inaccessible by road, lacked essential services like healthcare, clean water, and electricity. Roxana Borra Mamani, the inspiring leader of Aluk K. Anchainin, shared their vision. "Our idea was to be independent and promote the autonomy and self-management of the energy and communication system. Before the solar community, members faced the lengthy journey of traveling by boat to the nearest city with internet or electricity, a round trip that could take up to 8 hours and require significant fuel. This team now has its first step to install a satellite internet connection powered by a small solar system, allowing residents to change their phones and flashlights, thus enhancing their connectivity. The project flourished as they then provided a complete solar energy system for 40 households, empowering the entire community. The transformation means that residents can respond to emergencies more effectively, access public services, and improve both their educational opportunities and economic prospects. The vision of Aluk K. Anchainen continues to grow with plans to expand solar power installations in other remote indigenous communities that are in need. For us, fighting climate change means more than just resisting it. It means finding solutions, exploring alternatives, and transforming our way of life, Borda expressed in her message to the United Nations. She emphasized the importance of adapting to the increasing challenges posed by climate change, including heat waves, forest fires, and the scarcity of natural resources. This article, College Student Brings Solar Power and Light to Rural Village for the Very First Time. Half-blind dog heroically defends family from bear in New Mexico. In a heartwarming story from rural New Mexico, a family experienced an incredible moment of bravery thanks to their beloved 12-year-old dog, Honey. This sweet canine, who usually shies away from vacuum cleaners, displayed remarkable courage when she was confronting a bear that wandered onto their property, eyeing the family's chickens. Honey's heroic encounter was captured on security camera audio, revealing her fierce determination to protect not only the chickens, but also her family. The bear, freshly emerged from hibernation and looking for a meal, posed a significant threat to the family's livestock, including horses and other dogs. Despite being somewhat past her prime and struggling with partial blindness due to a previous encounter with a porcupine, Honey bravely stood her ground against that intruder. Denise Martinez, Honey's owner, expressed her admiration, stating, "She is our little savior. She's always been protective that way." Her daughter, Liana, discovered Honey after the bear had attacked, and the scene was heartbreaking. Honey had sustained serious injuries, including a deep puncture wound and bruising, leaving the family worried about her survival as they rushed to her Española Humane for treatment. At the treatment center, Honey received a series of life-saving procedures, including surgery and medication, to help her recover from the wounds inflicted by the attack. The team of Española Humane noted that the injuries were severe, but their dedication to her care was unwavering. With the support and love of her family and the compassionate community around her, Honey, affectionately dubbed the Bear Slayer, made a remarkable recovery. Española Humane celebrated her resilience, sharing on social media. And because of her family's love, a community who cares, and a little bit of badassery, this half-blind sassy senior is still here today. Now back at home, Honey can enjoy her well-deserved rest, having fulfilled her role as a protector without paying the ultimate price. Her story is a beautiful reminder of the strength and loyalty that dogs embody, showcasing the incredible bond between pets and their families. This article, Half-Blind Dog Heroically Defends Family from Bear in New Mexico. And here's a small challenge for you who are avid entertainment fans. What famous actor changed his name to avoid family connections? Here's the first one, Lady Gaga. What do you think her name was? Well, while it may surprise some that certain celebrities don't use their real names, others are quite obviously fabricated. Lady Gaga's parents gave their daughter the more traditional name, Stephanie Joanne Angelina Germanotta. Her friends later named her Gaga, inspired by the lyric from the Queen song, Radio Gaga, which reminded them of her musical style, and of course, the name stuck. Now, you all have heard of Snoop Dogg, I would think. Snoop Dogg, the West Coast rapper, was born Calvin Cordozar Broadus, Jr., but he grew up in a family that called him Snoopy because they thought he bore a resemblance to the animated cartoon character in Peanuts. When Calvin launched his music career, his nickname stuck. And then there's LL Cool J. Back in the early days of rap music, a young James Todd began calling himself LL Cool J, short for Ladies Love Cool James, in hopes of making a name for himself. As fame eventually found him, the name became his signature. And then there's also Stevie Wonder. Stevie may be a wonder when it comes to singing and playing the piano, but he wasn't born with that name. His real name is Stevland Hardaway Judkins. When he signed with Motown in 1961, his surname was legally changed to Morris, an old family name. He later adopted the stage name Stevie Wonder because people were astounded by his talent and called him a little wonder. And those are some of the people who actually changed their names to avoid family connections. Well, we're now coming to the conclusion of today's readings, and I'd like to leave you with this quote for the day. It's by Jane Kenyon. Let it come as it will, and don't be afraid. Jane Kenyon. I hope you enjoyed today's articles. Please join us again next time when we cover some unusual topics on Nice News. This has been Joyce Vesper, your volunteer broadcaster for Sun Sounds of Arizona, a radio reading service. Stay healthy, everyone. Be well and be happy. Bye-bye.